How's it going, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have an hour, but 1 hour, 60 minutes of your time to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome movie. My name is Freddie Wong.
Hey!
I've been watching a lot of movies lately. Boy, oh boy, I love movies.
Gosh, you know, I love movies too, Freddie. I just do. I love thinking about them. I love talking about them. I love breaking them and making them and taking them. I'm Will Campos, Moviola fan number one. Not Moviola, that's the editing this thing, which I only know because I love movies so much.
Hi, everybody. My name is Matt Arnold, or maybe Matthew October. But get this, I was born in January, not October.
Well, I don't... We've lost him.
I thought we're doing, it's so funny to have a name, because we're doing that John August tweet. His last name's not the same month as
Damn
his
it,
born.
Man.
It's so funny. I don't know how we're going to break a story about somebody with a name that's a month, but that's what we're doing today, right?
Well, luckily, it's not the last name we're breaking.
Right?
No, it's not, Matt. You got the memo wrong. It's not the last name that we're doing. It's his tweets, the content of his tweets. Judge not a man by...
Guys, it's pretty early. Was that funny?
No.
Did I ruin the podcast? Okay.
You ruined the podcast.
We'll workshop it.
Okay. All right, let's do this.
So we are today going to be talking about a tweet from fellow screenwriter
we don't get to say that. No, we don't.
John August.
You know, he wrote Toy Story. We wrote Video Game High School. We're pretty much on the same wavelength.
Oh, my God.
John August had a very funny tweet about the Slinky movie, which is coming to theaters at some point because it just got announced in development. And he was asking his fans, you know, who are kind of like our fans, because there are also people who listen to screenwriting podcasts by screenwriting pros. And he was asking, what is the next like children's toy they should make a movie out of? And the poll came up with three interesting options. So we're going to take a pick today and take a crack at one.
Hey, I just checked. My joke was dumb because he was born August 4th.
Oh, you hate to see
that's
it.
That's why he's named August.
That's
why he's named August.
That must be why his last name is August. You're right.
August.
That must be why his last name is John Meise. M-E-I-S-E is his actual last name.
Oh, really?
Yes, his spouse is Michael August.
Oh.
Well, anyways, enough of that. So, what are we doing? The three movies he came up with are The Magic 8-Ball, Silly Putty, or Lincoln Logs, and I guess we'll also throw Slinky in there because that's what this tweet was based on.
We're doing kind of hard mode today because it feels like we're going to feel morally obligated to include all these fucking toys in this movie by the end.
No,
just
you know
to
what?
Show
can we just
off.
Say right, can you commit right now to not include all these dumb fucking toys in this fucking episode?
I cannot give that order!
Sure, wink, wink.
Damn it, man!
Okay, do any of you have a real, like, emotional response when you read any of those?
Silly Putty seemed like the most intriguing bet to me because it feels like you could get into a flubber type thing. The word silly sets a tone, you know?
Oh, but like you didn't have, by emotional response, I meant like a Ratatouille moment when you saw those words. You were like, oh, that's my childhood.
Matt, my Ratatouille reflex has been burned out by my that's a good fucking hook for a movie reflex. That's all I have now. Whenever I hear something, you zoom into my head and you see a coffee-addled, jittery screenwriter staring at a wall full of postcards going, that's a hook. Yeah, that'll play in Poughkeepsie. Yeah.
Mine was Lincoln Logs. I'm not saying we're going to do Lincoln Logs or anything, but I just throwing out what I have like an emotional response to. Definitely Lincoln Logs is like one of the first memories I have as a kid is playing with my grandma. When I was young, she had like essentially two toys we could play with. One was an old school Lincoln Logs set, and the other one was a classic yellow tub of Legos, the classic Lego set. So definitely remember Lincoln Logs. Freddie, play with any of these?
No, Freddie's a gamer.
Damn, just ignore my question.
I had to break it to you losers, but I had a little thing called PS1. I had a little thing called the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. While you were sitting there trying to get newsprint and the comics and the funny pages off on your Play-Doh ripoff, I was sitting there high-scoring Battletoads, just locked in eternal battle with the greatest of the Japanese designers, the Miyamoto's, if you will. While you were sitting there trying to make a poor facsimile of Abraham Lincoln's home with your shitty plastic construction, molded plastic construction.
Wood.
I was sitting there. Wait, are they wood?
The originals were wood.
Really?
How dare you? Yeah, wood. Of course.
Did you have an original, like, wood?
Yeah, I've had an original wood. yes, the ones I played, I've never seen or held the plastic ones. I've only played with the wooden ones.
Oh.
Are they plastic now? That's sad.
I would assume so.
That's worse for the environment,
but I
too.
Wouldn't know because the great work of Hironobu
not when you're 4 years old,
creator of Final Fantasy, really captured my imagination for all of these years. I don't deign to trifle with these children's toys when I have the magic of Nobuo Uematsu's stunning score, heart-rending in its digital perfection to lull me to sleep, Matt.
So the answer is no, you didn't play with any of them?
I played with Magic 8 Ball, mostly to ask which great Nintendo games I should rent at my local Blockbuster. That's it, though. Silly Putty always struck me as fucking stupid. I'm sorry if you liked Silly Putty, but, like, the selling point was what? It can make print in reverse. I'm like, yeah. I have no need for a Peanuts comic, but backwards.
You know a toy is garbage, but one of its main selling points is you can recreate a newspaper. It's like, what? Not
it was fun to play. Yes. All the fucking flying off the shelves at Toys R Us there, where it's like, Mom, I want to be able to take the Wall Street Journal and invert the text.
I specifically remember it had like a little piece of paper with kind of like four panels that showed all the fun things you could do. Like one was like roll it up into
that,
a ball,
yeah.
And it was like a kid bouncing it, and like I don't know what the other ones were, but then the last one was like a dad holding a newspaper. The kid's like, ooh. It's like, now you can read the paper in reverse. It's like, what?
It's fun to pull and stretch around with. It's like a textural stress tactile.
No, it's great.
It's a feeling.
Yeah, it's still the Silly Putty is still, it's the original
fidget spinner.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say, I mean, it's the original of that genre of toys still around, from GAC to, my daughter played with her cousins and they had this thing called moldable sand. It's the craziest texture. It's like Play-Doh that's already dry, but like it sticks together like Play-Doh, but if you kind of rub it in your fingers, it splits apart like sand. It's incredible. Anyways,
a non-Newtonian solid, if you will.
Yeah.
It's the original fidget spinner that you inevitably tried to eat.
Yes. Yeah.
I do want to point out that our good friends at Crayola, who own the Silly Putties brand, have a poop-themed Silly Putty called Ugly Putty that is like a Silly Putty that looks like
good.
not just any poop, but like a textural, like a corn based poop. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. This is horrific. This is horrible.
Oh, I'm looking this up. Oh my God.
It's very grotesque.
No, this is a Chipotle. This is a Chipotle.
All right.
Okay,
we need to zero in.
Okay.
Lincoln Logs is intriguing. Magic 8 Ball feels like you could do like an insufferably
or like an insufferably
complicated.
There is a Blumhouse horror movie in the works about that right now.
About the Magic 8 Ball?
I believe so, yeah. This is what August is even saying on his Twitter.
I was going to say we could do like the pompously sterile and impossibly dense like Christopher Nolan Magic 8 Ball movie.
Dun, 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 dun. You see,
where like
you shake
it's,
it. Like, the, I have one word for you. Ask me later.
How about the Magic 8 Ball is like that world in either Futurama or isn't there a Simpsons episode where there's like a whole tiny world that Lisa creates or whatever? Why is it there's like an entire civilization inside that 8 ball that like every time there's a question, they all go into overdrive and try to figure out the answer and then they like select it for you.
And then our movie's about the guy running to be mayor of 8 ball town.
Mayor of 8 ball town.
He's like, why don't we start fixing our own problems before we...
Well, they all think they're doing serious work, and then the mayor's like the Wizard of Oz, and he's like, don't you understand? It's all random. Like, you guys just do research for no fucking reason. At the end of the day, I just toss a diamond up there, and whatever it lands on is what the people get.
I will say Silly Putty is intriguing, and it feels like that we always hit this same dichotomy, which is always like, do we do it about the thing, or do we do it about the story around the thing? But I will say, just quickly reading through the story around the thing, it is fascinating. Can I just really quickly relate to you folks the story of Silly Putty?
Yes, please.
So it's this rubber thing. They're like, what are we going to do with this rubber thing? So this dude who was $12,000 in debt, which, you know, in 1940s money is quite a bit of money, had to borrow more money to buy a batch of Silly Putty because he's like, this has potential. We could do it. This is going to be great. He put it into a bunch of plastic eggs, called it Silly Putty. Nobody was buying it.
Mm-hmm.
New Yorker article mentioned it. Sold 250,000 eggs of Silly Putty at $1 a piece in 3 days. And so you're like, okay, I get it. It's like the newspaper came and people bought it. However, 1951, the Korean War happened, and one of the ingredients was ration, which she was like, oh no. But then it went back again. Initially, this is the sentence that really blows my mind here. Initially, Silly Putty was targeted towards adults. So you're telling me that he sold 250,000 eggs of Silly Putty to a bunch of adults in the 40s? What was going on?
Yeah. It probably sold them to the OSS so that secret agents could do backwards copies of dossiers and leave codes for each other and stuff like that. That's the secret history of Silly Putty.
Sir, we found a spy, but the only thing he has in his pocket is this delightful putty. So I think I think we got to let him go. Hey, you know, interestingly, also on this thing, because I have an idea for Lincoln Logs really quick. But also, Lincoln Logs is also fascinating. You know who invented Lincoln Logs?
Abraham Lincoln?
No, the son of Frank Lloyd Wright, John Lloyd Wright.
I swear to God, I thought you were going to say the son of John Wilkes Booth for a second.
John Wilkes Booth. He was making a model for his father to relive his glory days.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. But yeah, he was working with his father in Japan in 1917, and he based it off the architecture of the Imperial Hotel in Tokyo, which was designed to be earthquake proof. And indeed, in 1923 was one of the only remaining buildings after the great earthquake. And then when he came back to America, he like essentially was like, hey, this architecture is cool and it was fun and easy to put together. And then he made the toy. So like, and then named it after the most famous American president. So, you know, just another example of like an American going to another country, taking a cool idea and then making a fucking toy out of it. I was thinking, what if you did like, I don't know why I think of this about this book all the time, because clearly I read it as a kid, but Indian in the Cupboard, but with Abraham Lincoln.
I did, yeah.
You do two kids get shrunk down and now they've got to survive on the, it's like you do like, it's like an Oregon Trail type movie, but it's like a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids scenario. But this in this version, it's like they're just trying to survive in the harsh frontier house when they're tiny, and then they build a house out of Lincoln Logs.
Indian in the Cupboard is though it's actually just the kid is just a normal kid and there's a little miniature native person.
I know.
You're
just saying he has a tiny Abraham Lincoln.
That helps him out. Like he's a lonely kid. He's a kid whose friend, who all of his friends are like Freddy in the intro of this episode, just fucking obnoxious talking about their video games, and his parents don't give him video games. Instead, for Christmas they give him a Lincoln Logs.
Question, do you think Lincoln would have been as great a president if he was a gamer? Or would he have been a,
no, he'd been a horrible person.
Like, would he have been able to, like, no, ask yourself this. Would he have been able to min-max the Civil War and made you know what I'm saying? Like, would
Score and seven headshots ago.
Excuse me, I've played Civilization 4 a few times. Yes, let me know
a team divided against itself cannot win.
Okay, so if we're going to do this gamer kid,
this gaming legend, let's be honest.
Let's start from there, because if the gamer kid's the main character,
yes,
we should start with there, and then we can figure out how Abraham Lincoln and this Lincoln Log fits into their life.
I cannot believe we're doing this idea.
It checks out. And if a toy company wanted to make a movie for children today,
they put a gamer in there.
Uh-huh.
They better be talking about, if AOC can get on Twitch, then Lincoln Logs can get on Twitch. So like, I think they're gonna have to do it.
Do you think the end of this thing is gonna be him streaming playing Lincoln Logs?
Oh shit.
No, the end of this thing is him at TwitchCon. And Abraham Lincoln is going to become a bigger streamer than he is, and he has to kill Abraham Lincoln as they're watching a
man.
Play.
Oh, man. History repeats itself.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, he's going to sneak up behind Lincoln at TwitchCon, right? Because Abraham Lincoln becomes more popular. Because Abraham Lincoln...
Okay. No, this is good, because now I like the idea of this kid is streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And then Abraham Lincoln's on the stream. Then you're like, he's looking at the chat. He's like, oh, hey, thanks for the $5, like so-and-so. And then... camera zooms in on the chat, and one of the names is John Wilkes Booth Jr. And then you zoom through, and then there's this other kid who's streaming, and then he looks in the back, and he's like, my God, Abraham Lincoln's still alive.
And then he's got a tiny John Wilkes Booth in his...
No, I was just saying, this kid's going to kill Abraham Lincoln all over again. It should end with Abraham Lincoln being brought to like a League of Legends finale, and he's in the audience, and then... It's Manchurian Candidate.
Then it's fucking Abraham Lincoln dancing with all the girls from KDA at the end. They do a fun K-pop song over the end credits.
No, and you know what it is? It's like you also, like, during this whole section, you see, like, just close-ups of Lincoln as he, like, surveys TwitchCon and, like, tears come to his eyes. And he goes, truly, this country has bloomed into a beautiful... You know what I mean? Like, it's like he's so impressed by TwitchCon that he's like... His faith in America is restored.
All right, so I'm thinking, so what game does
Twitch
this kid play?
Twitch makes Abraham Lincoln believe in America again. Just put that one on your mood board.
All right. It's on the mood board.
The other thing on the mood board is that next episode, there's going to be no children. And it's going to be a serious movie.
And no presidents.
And no presidents.
For
no
once.
Children or presidents in a serious movie. We're going to do a dark movie.
He's the best assassin in the business. He's just got one rule. No kids and no presidents.
But today he's been hired to kill a kid president.
He's been hired today. To kill kid president.
Okay.
I'll break my code for just one man, kid president.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, what happens if the streaming kid is the kid of a president, though?
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Okay, that's
so
good.
You're saying it's like because their mom is the president of the United States, they don't get yes. to do it up kid style like they used to, right?
And yeah, then it's tough
mom
being
is
a 14-year-old
like, you're the son of the president of the United States. You can't be streaming Minecraft. You have to be, you know, like a responsible. It's like
you need to set a good example. You can't be teabagging noobs in Warzone. What was that say about my administration? Does have you?
Yes.
Like it gets on Politico and shit. It's like,
yeah, you always
son
get
of
those
the
scandals.
President teabags constituents.
That's great. Actually, yes, you would do that. The opening of the thing is that he creates a diplomatic incident by teabagging like the prime minister's kid
in Sweden. Yeah, like the Swedish prime minister's
it's like this
yeah.
is the special relationship and you ruined it in one match of Fortnite.
Oh, yeah. Or it's even something just like somebody was called like the prime minister or like some name and then he made some joke about like I'm doing what my mom did to, you know, in the Chinese trade war or whatever. Like, you can't say that.
I like him teabagging the prime minister's
an actual person. Okay, yeah. There's a
and
prime
then,
minister's
then you
kid.
Get that scene where like the stressed out president mom's office and like the chief of staff is like, it's called teabagging, man. And then like she's in the middle of dunking tea like while that's happening and then he's like, it's where you pretend that, well, the teabags, ma'am, they're kind of like your, and then like the kid comes in and she's like, get over here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those.
Yes. Yes. That's good. That's
this
good.
This just became I just had a Ratatouille moment about this idea. This is like, now you've got me. Like, kid plays video games, whatever. Kid of the president plays video games? I'm interested.
Okay. Kid of the president teabags the kid of the prime minister of Denmark, and this little kid's like, oh no, I've got to teabag by the president of the United States.
Okay, that's good.
Fuzzer.
I just like the idea that at some point the two kids meet and then they're walking away and then our kid turns around and then there's like, he glances and in the pocket of the other kid, like Winston Churchill pops out or something. And he's like, oh, like it's just, there's a world where all these kids just have little presidents, little historical mm-hmm. figures with them. Okay. This kid's the son or daughter of the president.
They get grounded from gaming after mm-hmm. this diplomatic incident causes a stir. Back when this was the mm-hmm. sort of thing that would embarrass our country.
He calls himself GOTUS, by the way.
Oh my god, GOTUS is very good.
He's a snobby ass. Like, I'm the gamer of the United States, motherfucker. I'm the son of the president. It's like, okay, this kid has issues.
When they get banned from playing video games, it's like the president's like, get me Echelon on the line. And then the NSA is like, I need you to filter all traffic coming out for Call of Duty. They're like, yes, ma'am, we're on it. And he's like, no, I have to fight against the whole government to play my video games.
The idea that he's playing, he's like, I know you're hacking. It's like, bullshit. He's like, you got aimbot. And then he like calls the NSA. He's like, hey, I need you to do a quick check on me if this guy's aimbotting or not. And they're like,
oh,
you can't,
that's so good.
You can't keep calling the NSA to do this. She's like, I'll tell my mom. If you don't fucking figure out this kid's aim button.
That's pretty good.
Okay, so is this kid a brat?
I love that.
I like mom president. It does feel like this is like a toxic guy kid. It feels like this is a gamer.
Yeah,
boy.
Yeah. I think it's like your Macaulay Culkin-esque, you know, backwards baseball cap kid.
Yeah.
To zero in for a second. So they get grounded. He gets grounded. And then it's probably like, you know, like all of his cool gamer toys get taken away. And now he's like looking around the White House for some toys.
Oh, like you see like a bunch of Secret Service agents wheeling out this Herman Miller gamer chair. He's like, no.
And then you've got like, I feel like he finds this dusty old set of Lincoln Logs in the Lincoln bedroom, right? Like something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes to play with them. And then the ghost of Abraham Lincoln comes out. Did the ghost of Abraham Lincoln like see this kid in trouble? Like, and is like, I need to teach this kid about a little place called America.
No, I think he forms like a pentagram with the logs and it summons Lincoln's soul.
No, he makes Lincoln's cabin. He recreates Lincoln's cabin.
Mm-hmm. This doesn't track. This, you're telling
me
the hardest
the Pentagon.
The pentagram, Matt. Pentagram. As a Catholic, wait, you should
how
know
that,
the power
like
of,
out in this world
Lincoln
of magic.
Was in hell, dude.
It's like a pentagram makes sense, but dude, making
crazy.
Lincoln's actual lock cabin.
No, because I buy a shitty gamer kid wanting to recreate something he saw in Doom. I don't buy a shitty gamer kid looking up like Lincoln's log cabin and being
no, he's
like,
bored
this-
as he, that's what he does at first. The first thing he does, he makes a dick with the Lincoln logs. Obviously, Freddy. Yeah, he makes a pentagram. What is it? Fucking 1990.
I don't know.
Nobody's a devil worshiper anarchist, right? Are we talking
I didn't
about?
I play with he Lincoln makes- logs, Matt. You're the one who played with fucking
exactly.
Lincoln logs,
he
you
makes-
loser. For I was spending my time in the noble pursuit
okay.
of gaming.
All
also,
right.
you only make 90-degree angles. But anyways, the point is like, yes, he's dicking around playing with Lincoln logs. He's bored as shit because he's grounded or whatever. And then he has. You have that little wondrous little piano string starts playing and he looks up and he sees a picture of Lincoln's cabin and he's like, oh, what a fucking shitty ass house. And he's just like mindlessly recreates it. He's not like, oh, I can't wait to make the Lincoln. He just does the it's an accidental thing. He just makes it and then he's about to kick it over. He's like, hey, please don't kick over my house. Like, what the fuck? And like he stumbles backwards and the door opens up and it's Abraham Lincoln.
Maybe we do. Yeah. Maybe you do. There's like a. You know, like part of his embarrassing punishment is like you can only get his video games back once he does like a bunch of like he's got like homework or whatever. And one of the homework things like there's like a scavenger hunt around the White House or something like that. And he's got to recreate the Lincoln House with Lincoln logs or you do. He's got like a kid sister classic dynamic and, you know, like going to help her with her homework or like he gets assigned. Oh, because they have. All right. Here you go. They have a put upon. Personal tutor, teacher, played by who else? John Mulaney, who, you know, teaches this kid a lesson by making him do his younger sister's homework. And then his younger sister's homework is to build the Lincoln cabin. And that's why he winds up building the Lincoln cabin.
Nothing changes about that character that you just said. It's John Mulaney. He's just constantly responsible for these kids. He is absolutely the vice president. You realize, like, the vice president's job is mostly just taking care of these
the president's kids.
Just does
very
absolutely
good.
Nothing.
Very, very, very good. So, guys, I have to go cast the tie vote in the Senate.
Yes.
Yeah, like there's yes. some real hardcore shit going on out off screen. By the way, Lincoln logs are wood. They're still wood. They were plastic for a brief period, but there was outcry and they switched back to being pure wood.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So, okay.
And then the kid makes a bunch horrible. Of jokes about like, ha, these are made of wood. I'll tell you what else.
All right. So it's a kid summons a ghost movie or a kid summons a wacky helper. I mean, we've done this one about 8 million times. Yeah, so like, let's...
I'm trying Let's to change it up. I'm just trying to change it up a little
Let's
bit.
Let's mix it up. So, okay,
I'm
so...
throwing that gamer energy in there, you
okay,
know?
Okay, so...
Okay, this is the first question. There's kind of two paths to this. Is mm-hmm. it the kid has a problem? Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the kid's always going to have a problem, but is the kid have a problem that Lincoln's helping him with, or yeah. is Lincoln appearing and has a problem the kid's going to help him with? Either way, the kid learns and, you know... changes, but like
I think it's a two-hander. I think Lincoln's trying to eradicate John Wilkes Booth's DNA line from
see,
the
I actually
earth.
Like that.
And then two, but then the kid, and here's the kid's problem that they need to figure out the way to get this together. The kid has fallen in love with Hatsune Miku, a Vocaloid anime character from Japan. And he's like, but I'm just the son of the president. How will Hatsune Miku ever see me? And then it's like, oh, let me tell you a little bit of something about anime girls. And then Lincoln can talk to him about anime girls. And he's like, while you're at it, I need you to kill these three men. I can't do it as a count of I'm so small.
Freddie, I can't. I love this idea. I literally don't know how to form it. Go, just do the whole movie. Okay,
all right,
wait.
Freddie's onto something. Freddie, hear me out. So Lincoln knows that because it's like he had Horcrux magic and he hid himself in this like tiny Lincoln log set, right? And then yes. you do that like, all of America's greatest enemies, right? Like John Wilkes Booth, he's in the internet now. And he needs, like, you know, like they're plotting something, and he needs to put a team of gamers together to stop them from destroying the American internet or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then, like, that's why our main guy is going to be, like, doing, like, gamer stuff. I don't know. He's hiding in Minecraft, and then they've got to go hunt him down in Minecraft before he, you know, launches the nuclear missiles.
So he's like a Johnny Mnemonic-style, like, Ghost in the Machine.
Yeah, right? Or is that too cyberpunk? I don't know.
There's nothing as too cyberpunk.
Well, Frey, you were saying... he's fallen in love with Hatsune Miku. The mm-hmm. For people who don't know, this is a pop star that's a complete fabrication. It's an anime character. They do holograms.
All pop stars are complete fabrications, you know what?
Yes, but it's not a real... You're right. But there's not even a physical human being. It's a hologram or a CG character.
It's a shell within a shell, dude.
Yes. Do they even know who the voice is? I think they keep all that secret, so that's just... Yeah, it's actually developed. Okay, so
it's a software voice, my man.
You're saying that this kid has the curse of falling in love with a person who's not real, but then something that's impossible happens and makes him think maybe Abraham Lincoln can help me.
Abraham Lincoln, you were able to materialize from the dead. Perhaps the magic within you could turn Hatsune Miku into a real anime girl that I could fall in love with. And then he's all these wall scrolls.
He's grounded. His mom is about to go do a diplomatic trip to Japan. And because he was teabagging, he's not allowed to go to Japan. So the first thing he has to do is get on his mom's good side so he can get to Japan so he can go fight.
He's got to sneak onto Air Force One with the help of Abraham Lincoln so he can get to Japan and he can finally commit his love to Hatsune Miku. Lincoln's like, why they don't have these flying machines? Like, come on, Abraham Lincoln, you gotta teach me how to talk to anime girls.
We have derailed
movie.
All right. Okay.
Well, Frank
right.
wanted to make it different because, as you said, we've done this movie a thousand times.
Yes, yes, yes. No, no, no. I'm plus wanting the insanity. I'm going to try to find the beating heart in the middle of this thing.
Yes. What
so,
is.
All right.
How
so
do
let's
we
just,
approach this without it being problematic and it being sweet? Because essentially, it's a kid falling in love with a fake woman.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like, I mean, you know, he's a kid with a crush on a poster, basically, right?
Yes.
So, and he's a streamer. Or something.
Yeah.
He's a trash talking streamer who wants to get big. And then, you know, his dream is to have Hatsune Miku come on his stream at some point, right?
Yes.
And play video games.
Oh, there
with
we
him.
Go.
Yeah. Yeah. He wants to just have a gaming sesh.
And he's like, I know she's not real, man, but like, you know, it's like, you know, this is just my dream.
But sometimes I look at that wall scroll and I think, what would it be like to smooch her? Anyway.
But stuck behind these gilded walls of the White House, nobody feels real. You know what I mean?
Sometimes I don't feel real either, you know?
Sometimes I don't feel real.
So maybe the only person who can make me feel real is a person who isn't real.
And then a tiny Abraham Lincoln nods slowly.
Mom, so clearly there's a problem with mom, right? Like, mom doesn't take him seriously. You know, they're always at loggerheads, so to speak.
Yeah, because he's like, gaming is the new diplomacy. And then the mom is like, no, gaming is not diplomacy. Gaming is stupid. That's what you said about my Hatsune Miku obsession, Mom!
It's like, that is what I said.
That is what I said. You need to get over that.
That is explicitly what I said.
Shinzo Abe's coming over tomorrow for dinner. What would he say when he sees your room full of these wall scrolls and body pillows?
Does it get to a point where he finds a way to, like, his mom is actually part of this diplomatic event, like, right, they're going to talk about, like, whatever, like, a trade agreement with Japan. It's just like, you know, it's time to check in with Japan again. The American president's going to visit Japan. And, you know, often when that happens, you know.
They were like, we haven't done Japan in a while.
Like, I mean, that's kind of how it works a little bit. It's like,
Japan hasn't factored into the American TV show that is politics in a while. Let's do a Japan arc.
That's how it happens with your allies. It's like, you know, you have to visit Britain sometimes because they're an ally, but it's not important. So, like, they're going to go to Japan. And, you know, when a high-ranking official comes, you know, you do a little tour. You show them, like, you know, the stadium you built for the Olympics or whatever. And, yes, like, the itinerary, like, Saturday night, like, they're going to bring the president to a Hatsune Miku concert. And that's what he was excited for. Now he's grounded. Yeah. But so I feel like that's the goal, is like, he was super excited about going to this concert because he feels like, you know, he's the president's son. Of course he's going to be able to go backstage.
Oh, this is very good. So he's back in America, and then by the end, they realize that there's some dangerous plot that they need to thwart.
Yes.
And then, of course, how are they going to get there? They got to convince John Mulaney to give him the keys to Air Force Two, the vice president's plane.
Oh, shit. That's so good.
Which is like a little Cessna.
Because hear me out. John Mulaney is like, hey, man, I get it. I'm also a gamer. I play Microsoft Flight Simulator. You want to check it out? And John Mulaney spends his spare time when he's not doing the one boring thing the vice president has to do, and he pretends to fly Air Force Two in Microsoft Flight Simulator. So that's going to be how he flies the plane at the end of the movie.
No, when I love this. When they sneak in and like walk into his bedroom, he's playing Flight Simulator, and he's flying Air Force One, and he's pretending to be the president that's so cool that can fly Air Force One. He goes, oh, what, Mr. President? He's like, hey, everybody stay back there. Don't worry, the president's got this flight. He's like, why? It's like, aw. This poor man.
He's like, there's a 16 knot crosswind at 420 at 32 degrees, and it's looking like it's pushing us off course. It's okay. I got it all locked. Stand back, folks. The president's gonna land this plane.
This is very good.
You're peeking in, and then Lincoln's like, a true cabinet of rivals would never be the kind of... Yeah, anyway.
Well, yeah, the classic scene is obviously, it's like, I can't get you on the airplane. It's like, okay, maybe you'll say no to me, but I hate to do this, but will you say no to him? And then reveals Abraham Lincoln. So, like, that you'd have that scene where John Mulaney gets to meet little mini Abraham Lincoln.
Okay, yes. And it's like where they meet Remy. Remy.
Yes.
This is very good. This is very good.
Yes, because everybody knows that he wants to meet Hatsune Miku. So then this scene would be, he realizes there's a plot against his mom's life. And then they've got to convince.
Yes, you would do that. Oh, okay. So the evil bad guy is the secretary of something or another. And he's an RIAA former exec, right? Like he's some music industry narc.
Oh,
and so it's a plot against Hatsune Miku. They want to use the Japan trip to download a virus that's going to make her sing American pop tunes from now on.
Oh, dude.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that if they murder the president at her concert, it's probably going to ruin her career because everybody's going to associate Hatsune Miku with
her. Are you saying that he finds out that his mom is going to be murdered at a concert and his first reaction is, oh, no, this will kill Hatsune Miku's career?
No. The first thing, he wants to go to Hatsune Miku's concert. And then the third point is, I thought you were saying he realizes there's a plot against his mom's life. So he's got to go on an airplane to go save her.
I was going
to
say keep it small stakes and he realizes there's a plot against Hatsune Miku. But we could.
Oh.
Yeah, anyway. Well, let's get to that in a second. Let's get to that
in a second. Okay, we can make it a plot. Well, the only thing with a plot against Hatsune Miku is it's like, then it's, I feel like we're already in this world of like, he's falling in love with this imagining girl. I don't know if you want to do that. Then she's like, not saying getting fridged or whatever, but it's like, she's now in trouble. So that's why he's got to go there. It feels like, the thing that he's got, like, the task should be, like, against his selfish nature or against the want of going for, like, Hatsune Miku. It's like, he wants to meet her, get backstage finally, but then he's discovered something that, like,
backstage!
You know,
Backstage is three Japanese men smoking cigarettes looking at a computer screen. What are you talking
That's about? Definitely the low moment of the movie.
Yes. Yes.
They're like, do you want to go backstage? And yeah, it's just a bunch of middle-aged Japanese
a bunch of Miyazaki looking ass motherfuckers.
Yes. Typing on computers and just like there's just like a one hard-ass boss just berating someone and the other person's crying and they run out of the room.
This old grown man is actually singing and they're just modulating his voice so much that it turns into Hatsune Miku. It's like it's not even who he thinks. It's just this like, yes, it's this horrible Wizard of Oz but look behind the curtain moment.
Backstage.
Okay.
Are you feeling elevated levels of anxiety? Do you quake uncontrollably even thinking about watching cable news? Do you have disturbing nightmares, only to realize it's 2 in the afternoon and you're up? If you've experienced one or more of these symptoms, you may have FNO, news overload. Fortunately, there's treatment. Hi, I'm Dave Holmes, host of Troubled Waters. Troubled Waters helps fight FNO. That's because Troubled Waters stimulates your joy zone. On Troubled Waters, two comedians will battle one another for pop culture supremacy. So join me, Dave Holmes, for 2 doses of Troubled Waters a month. The cure for your news overload. Available on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
To back up for a second, because that all feels like towards the end of the movie, like this magical flight to Japan or whatever.
I have an ending that will fucking blow your socks off, ready and locked and ready to go here,
okay.
So don't worry.
Let's lay the groundwork a little
bit. Don't worry about the ending. Freddy's got the ending,
we've got
boys.
A and we've got Z. I think we need to get from A to Z. So You've got this kid. He's moody. He's a hell-raising teen. Kind of like, again, wasn't there that movie First Kid that kind of did this premise with Sinbad as the
Secret Service agent?
They didn't think big enough, though.
They didn't think big enough. Sinbad should have been the fucking vice president. Yo, okay, really quick. Sorry, just a quick, brief interruption. The kid from First Kid is running for president this year as an independent candidate. I'm not fucking kidding
Wait,
you.
What?
Brock Pierce, an American entrepreneur, former child actor, and known for his work in the cryptocurrency industry, is an independent candidate for the 2020 U.S. presidential election. What a fucking wild twist that one was.
He's like, oh, ma'am, your son teabagged the son of the leader of Ukraine. She's like, oh. And also said that Ukraine belongs to Russia. It's like, why would he do that? It just is like horrible. Okay.
All right. So yes, and his goal is that late at night he dreams of his stream getting so big that he can invite Hitsune Miku on to play Minecraft with him.
Yes.
And then he gets banned, and then John Mulaney gives him homework about America. Like, John Mulaney gives him this super corny, like, scavenger hunt he has to go do before he can get his video games back, right? And so begrudgingly, he makes the Lincoln Log House, and then Abraham Lincoln shows up, right? Like,
yes.
So he's disturbed the ghost of Abraham Lincoln, and now what does Abraham Lincoln want? What is Abraham Lincoln doing in this movie? I'm
trying to think about, like, what the kid's, like, thing is. So, for example, like, let's say Abraham Lincoln is like, son, why does this streaming thing mean so much to you? Like, let's get to the soul of the matter. Why is this? And the kid tells the story. He's like, well, if you notice, like, I have my mom here, but my dad, he left, and we never found out where he went. Some people say he drowned out on a boat, but I still think he's out there, so I just hope if I get famous enough, maybe he'll see me. And Abraham Lincoln's like, wow. He's like, yeah. Anyways, and then he walks away, and the kid's like, fucking idiot, fell for that. He's like, oh, damn. Like, I gotta, like, you think it's going to be something heartfelt? I was like, no, he just wants to be famous. So he wants to be famous because he thinks that's the only way Hatsune Miku
Hatsune Miku doesn't stream with just anyone. Hatsune Miku only streams with the most bodacious streamer folks with the most followers. If I'm not in the top five, Hatsune Miku won't even know I exist. Well, son, is Hatsune Miku real? Whatever, Lincoln!
Okay, so yes, Hatsune Miku, this is just a love story. This is a first love story for this kid. He's going to realize, like, yes, he's going to learn. He's going to go through a crush of love and heartbreak.
I have such a good ending.
It's really, and it's also like, look, at the end of the day, he's got a lot of problems, right? Like, you know, like, this transition to life in the White House has been really hard. You know, his mom is a single parent, but, you know, she doesn't get to spend a lot of time with him because she's super busy. And he's got a lot of complex emotions he's not dealing with. And so he escapes to the world of video games. And he also, like, chases this relationship he knows he can't have because the fantasy of it is like a coping mechanism, essentially, right?
Yes. And then you're going to have this great scene where Abraham Lincoln, like, you know, they drink milk together. Like, it's like a bar scene. And he tells him about his first love, Aunt Rutledge. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, that, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out. But, you know, I found somebody that I loved even more as time goes on. And he could, like, and then maybe that was like an essay question on his test later or something. But anyway.
So he's going to have to uncork his emotional knot, so to speak, and kind of get to the root of what's going on. So why is Abraham Lincoln here? Is this just like that Abraham Lincoln is like, you know, he shows up to help Americans in their time of need, like, and it's like one of those things? Like, he's just like,
the low point is Abraham Lincoln's probably like, why was I called? This is like for this stupid thing. Like, what am I? And then he realizes that there's something great in this kid. I don't know. Abraham Lincoln is here because
here's what it was. He was shot at Ford's Theater, right? They rushed his body back to, I don't know if this is true or not, but you know what? It is true. This is the secret history they won't tell you about. They rushed his body back to the White House, but he was still alive. And in his dying breath, he was like, bring in the magic, what, you know what I mean? Like, there's some magic thing where he's transferred his soul.
And then he died. He's bringing in the magic, and then he died.
And, then he died, but then his hand fell on a set of Lincoln logs, right?
Which existed.
I don't even know. Which existed.
They were invented 100 years later.
Onto a piece of wood that Franklin, whatever. Anyway, his soul goes into this, like, object, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it gets locked in there. And it's just part of, you know how, like, when you go to, like, an Airbnb, they'll have, like, occasionally, it's, you know, people have lived there, so it's like you'll see, like, a drawer with, like, some puzzles and, like, some just, like, some tchotchkes, you know, that, you know, the people who own the place have. That's the same as the truth of the White House has, like, a bunch of toys and, like, leftover, you know, sort of stuff from previous administrations that the kids can play with. Of course, this kid doesn't give a shit because he's got his fucking sick iBuyPower PC, but that's what the thing is. It's like in the drawer of, like, jigsaw puzzles and Lincoln logs, there's one that's imbued with the soul of Abraham Lincoln. He accidentally...
He's like, listen, kid, I know you PC gamers are all into your RGBs, but what about the old red, white, and blue? All right, here's what I think it is. I think Abraham Lincoln dies, but his last thoughts as he's dying in the Ford Theater are about how much he loves this great land of ours and how much work, how much, you know, his haunting, right? His soul, he died with unfinished business, right? He wanted to lead America through Reconstruction. He wanted to bring this country back together. And so some part of his spirit has lived on. So a very tiny part of him, which is why he's tiny. And from time to time, he has shown up places where there was an American in need and he helped them, right? So then we can do like the fun history of like he was sitting on someone's shoulder during like a big presidential debate and whispering in their ear, right? He was doing this, he was doing that. And now he's been clearly the spirit of America has called upon him once more to help this young boy, right? And so he starts off the movie like really optimistic because he believes that every American has the, you know, capacity for greatness, and he believes that, you know, blah, 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 and you're the president's son. And so then we're going to see Lincoln, you know, who sees the best in everybody, slowly get worn down and frustrated by how annoying this kid is. And then, but it's like, he's here specifically, he's like a Meeseek from Rick and Morty. He's supposed to help this kid with something. And then I was going to say, by the end of the movie, hear me out, you do the end of the movie is Abraham Lincoln realizing he needs to let go. He needs to let America, you know, find itself a little bit too. You know, it's like, you know, like, and maybe like he moves on to the great hereafter to go be with Mary Todd or whatever.
So he's been like stuck.
Not stuck. I just think he's kind of like a wayward spirit, right? He is a bit of a wandering ghost, right? And he helps people. He's a helpful ghost, so to speak. But like, that's what he does. And like, he lives in this, you know, like he showed up in this, you know, box of Lincoln, you know, like again, like you can see, you know, some people summon him from a penny or from a $5 bill, and then this time he's the Lincoln locks.
I like that. The only pitch I'd say is I was gonna think you could just also do that. Yes, he's here. I don't know, there's something fun about, yeah, I'm just trying to think, there's a different kind of dynamic with like this Abraham Lincoln's like always out and about like helping people. Or you do that, like a fun dynamic would be like he put himself, like, yes, he's in these blocks, and like it was always for if a president's in need, but nobody's ever done it, and this is like the first time he's ever been called, and he thinks that this is the president. And you get like a fun, it's like, oh, you're pretty young to be the president, but I guess, you know, things have changed since I was around. And then he realizes just the president's kid, and then this kid just needs help going to this concert or whatever.
Oh, so you're saying he's secretly been hiding here this whole time waiting to advise
presidents. Yeah, nobody's ever called for him for help, and then he's like, oh, thank God.
Presidents used to back in the day, but they've forgotten about it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so then he kind of gave up, and he's just been living in retirement in a Lincoln, in this box of Lincoln
Logs. Yes.
Sure, whatever. This is a minor point, he got there. But his goal is he wants to help the kid, right?
Yes, he wants to help the kid.
Okay, so here's what I think. I think you've got the structure in this, like the first half of this movie that then turns into, oh shit, shit's getting real. This is a small-scale movie about a kid learning about America, right?
Yeah.
So you do that. The vice president has given him this 50-state scavenger hunt, right, where he has to do all these projects about the 50 great states of America in the White House, right, to do it before he can play his video games again. So him and Abraham Lincoln are doing these assignments together, like Bill and Ted style, and getting into wacky shenanigans. And then at some point, while they're snooping around and skulking around, they uncover the dastardly plot to blow up his mom at the Hatsune Miku concert, right? Something like that.
And I feel like also the first half is an element of, it's a little bit of, you could do, I mean, come on. The idea of like tiny Abraham Lincoln essentially acting as Cyrano de Bergerac to this gamer kid talking to a fake anime girl is pretty good. If it's like, if he's not allowed to go with his mom on this diplomatic thing, the first thing they have is they realize that there's like a contest to get a ticket to go to this thing. If it's
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, I don't know if I could talk to her in person though on a stream. I'm too nervous for that. They're like, what? You were planning? And Abraham Lincoln's like, you were planning on going across the ocean to see her and you can't even talk to her on this video camera? Like, come on, son.
No, you know what? The contest is, it's a Taco Bell contest to go see Hatsune Miku live. So he's like, yes. Abraham Lincoln, we need to eat as much Taco Bell as we can.
Yes.
Like, get the CIA.
Yes. This is very good.
That's so good. Yes, the idea that this kid just gets, like, is just acting like, yes, like, the vice president walks in, there's just all this Taco Bell wrappers all over the Oval Office. He's like, you can't be eating here. What are you doing?
Okay, so, yeah, this is all taking place over one crazy weekend where his mom has put the vice president in charge of the White House while she goes to Japan, and he's been grounded from the Japan trip. So we'll say that. He hasn't been banned from, because we still want him to play video games and stuff like that. So he's been banned from the Japan trip for raising hell.
Banning a gamer from playing games. Might as well tell me I can't breathe air, am I right?
And he really wants to go to this Hatsune Miku concert and finds out that like one lucky fan is going to get to go. And so then it's them trying to do streams good? I kind of don't really see what the movie is.
Yes, it's a small-scale movie. A lot of it, because it reminds me of, like, there's probably more than one. The idea that essentially the first half of your movie is just, like, a young kid comedy of this kid running around the White House causing trouble because they're like, the mom was specific. He's like, you're not coming on Air Force One to go to Japan. Okay, you're staying here. But it's like, he, like, convinces John Mulaney, who's a pushover VP, is like, well, if I can find another way to get Japan, can I go? He's like, well, technically your mom didn't. Sure, whatever. So he's like, right, first he tries a Taco Bell thing. That doesn't work. And Lincoln's like, don't give up so easily. You're saying there's only one contest? There's probably a contest in, like, is there Taco Bell in Britain? He's like, no. He's like, well, I'm sure they're hitting British people, too. So they, like, do research. Like, oh, yeah, there's, like, there's some, like, you know, sonnet contest or whatever in Britain. So they have to, you know, use a fucking, you know, proxy to pretend to be a British citizen in order to do another contest. They're just constantly trying to do stuff to get to this Hatsune Miku concert. And then eventually he gets in enough trouble that's like, you're grounded. You're not leaving the White House. You know, you've done all these bad things. And then he finds out there's a plot to kill his mom. He's got to convince the VP to let him go to Japan to stop it.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Something that we're talking about?
It's somewhere in there. Yes. I feel like...
I have the ending, though. I do have the ending.
Okay, please. I do want to... Before we get to that, I do want to pitch one scene, which is I feel like you do... He does a Lincoln-Douglas debate with the vice president, and Lincoln's helping him, like, outflank the vice president as a debater. But then you're like... Your secret time is like, oh, you know, John Mulaney's this big dum-dum who can't tie his shoelaces together and can't spell potato or whatever, but he's a fucking... beached at debating, and then so he's got to match wits with this, and to get him to give him permission to start streaming again.
Yes,
is essentially what it would be.
That's
all right.
Good.
Okay, sure. Yeah, this is all still feeling pretty ropey. Freddie, what's your?
It's pretty ropey. Freddie,
no, but there's a better. There's a great ending here, which is he goes in and he finally meets Hatsune Miku, and she's a Vocaloid. She's controlled by a bunch of, you know, engineers in the back, in this dream. It's not a real person, you know, it's all synthetic, it's all fake. And he's bummed out by it. And Lincoln sees this and he goes, well, there's a little bit of presidential magic I still have. And the guy's like, well, what do you mean? And then Lincoln reaches deep down and like then starts to talk like Hatsune Miku. And he's like, konnichiwa. And it's this little Lincoln talking to him as Hatsune Miku. It's like, I've been, you know, and like, and he finally has a conversation, but it's Lincoln channeling the ghostly energies of Hatsune Miku, and then he smooches Lincoln.
Okay, wait, this is close though. There's this scene in the IT crowd. Sorry, that Graham Lineman sucks. But there's this good scene in the IT crowd where they force these like jocks to play Dungeons and Daddies.
They play what?
Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, sorry. No, they play Dungeons and Daddies. Sorry, they play Dungeons and Dragons. So they wish they were playing Dungeons and Daddies. And it's like that. It's like the guy had a problem with his girlfriend, and then the DM's like, you meet a beautiful young woman. He says his girlfriend's name. He's like, don't do this to me. And she goes, what's the matter? Why wouldn't he talk to me anymore? And he makes the guy talk to the girlfriend. And then he cries like, I gotta call her. So it'd be like that. It's like he's disappointed because these engineers are like, get out of here. He's like, but I just want to tell her that I care for her. And he's like, yeah, it's a bunch of old men, asshole. Get out of here. Hatsune Miku's not real, kid. And then it's like he didn't get his closure. He didn't get to say,
correct,
you know. So then Abraham Lincoln, I don't know if he's, Abraham Lincoln's like, maybe I can help. And then he starts talking as Hatsune Miku. It's like, hi, how are you? And then, sorry, it sounded like Mickey
Mouse.
And then she's like, hey, I know you're not real, but he's like, oh. And then, yes, he goes through the whole conversation. And then Abraham Lincoln has to be like, well, I hope you understand that even though, you know, I'm not real, your feelings for me were real. And someday those feelings will be able to, you know, you'll have those feelings for somebody else too. The kid cries. He's like, I understand. Thanks, Hatsune Miku. And then he's like, you're welcome. And then he hugs little Abraham Lincoln.
And then Lincoln has fulfilled his destiny of helping out, right? So then Lincoln starts to disappear. And then the last shot is this kid walking through the streets of Tokyo. And he's walking like through the crossing of Shibuya with his mom in the Secret Service detail. And he's like, well, you know, it's like, what a crazy adventure we had. He's like, yeah. And he looks up and that one of the like skyscrapers has like a big poster of Hatsune Miku. And then like the face morphs to Abraham Lincoln's face and it winks at him. And he like gives a thumbs up back.
Okay, this is, I don't know if the movie works, but this is good. The ending, by the way, well, you're right the first time. It is definitely Abraham Lincoln has been helping American citizens all over the place. Anytime somebody builds a Lincoln house with Lincoln locks, he helps them. And he does understand. He's like, whatever I do, I can't die. And definitely when he does the Hatsune Miku scene, he starts disappearing. He's like, wait, really? This was it? This was the one I needed to do? Like, he's definitely just thrown this one off as like, well, whatever, I'll help this kid.
I'll just knock this out and then do the next one.
He's like, really? This is the one? Okay, whatever. Mary Todd, here I come. You know, finally. And then you do this, the kid who didn't care about America or whatever. And then you do, out of nowhere, he's walking through Tokyo with his mom hand in hand. And she's like, you want to go get some sushi? He's like, sure. And then you fade out and it goes 30 years later and then he's a tour guide in Washington, D.C. and he's at the Lincoln Memorial. Some kid's like, I don't care about this dude. He's not Call of Duty. He's like, oh yeah? You think this guy's just a lame president? Let me tell you a story. And he starts telling these kids and you just fade out. It's like the greatness that is Abraham Lincoln.
You do. Hear me out. We start the movie with an old man going up to the Lincoln Monument, right?
Yes.
And then he tearfully does this thing. And then we flash back to the movie.
Yes.
And then at the end of the movie, we Saving Private Ryan CG morph the kid's face into the old man, and he breaks down crying. And he goes, did I do right? Did I live a good life? And he looks up, and his wife is Hatsune Miku.
And he takes off now
and people have hologram wifes and then we pull out and everyone around has like hologram boyfriends and girlfriends and stuff, and then he walks off with Hatsune Miku at the end.
And then as he walks off, we hang on the Lincoln Memorial, and then the Lincoln Memorial raises a thumbs up. The statue moves and a title slaps.
Oh my god, all right.
This is a great movie now.
You know what the best part about this one is, people are gonna look at the title of this one, and it's gonna be Lincoln Logs, and they're like, that's gonna sound boring. I'm gonna skip this one. You fucking idiot. This was the fucking best.
I appreciate that. We understood we've done this movie 1,000 times, and I like that we added Freddy's insane zag. And you know, this is definitely different than any other movies we've come up with, so I'm proud of it.
This is different than some of the good movies we've come up with.
Yeah, this is very different than all the good movies we've come up with.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Another
Storybrick classic right from our mouths to your ear holes. Thanks very much.
That's the kind of energy that puts us on the same level as John August.
Yes. Yeah.
John August may have written classics like Titan A.E. and a whole bunch of other really good stuff, but can he say...
Did he just sum his career with Titan AE?
I'm just remembering what it said on this Google.
Okay. All right.
Boy, oh boy.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. That's been Story Break, the fucking greatest podcast in the history of podcasts.
If next week we ask Will if there's any fan art and there's not some fan art with Lincoln on Hatsune Miku, I'm going to be very upset.
Speaking of fan art, Will, what is the fan art situation this
week? So we have a lot of tasty treats to talk about today. Special thanks, thank you, muchas gracias, to Emily Brian Reeder. Tweeted us a very awesome, super trippy poster for Marked, which is her name for our Marker movie.
Oh.
She was giving this one kind of like an Annihilation vibe. It's like a very cool poster. It's way cooler than her movie.
Very cool.
Likewise, speaking of, I think I had John Mulaney on the brain today because Smalls on Twitter sent us a poster for our Photoshop movie featuring Mr. John Mulaney in the lead role of the Adobe Photoshop movie. So thanks to Smalls, thanks to Emily, and also I would be remiss if I did not mention our good friend Kyle Grossman. He posted this on the Facebook group where he took the song Monster Mash and edited our spoken word version over the song, and it's very, very, very funny. So that is on our Facebook group. Thank you to Kyle. You can check out all the past fan art and follow us around on social at twitter.com/RJStoryBreak or at bit.ly/StoryBreakFB for the Facebook group. And that's what we got this week.
Thank you so much to Chad Ellis, who edits our podcast, as well as the Maximum Fun Podcast Network, who is the podcast network for our podcast. Head on over to MaximumFun.org for all of your podcasting needs. Mission of Zix, by the way, wrapping up season 4, so can highly recommend that.
Oh, congrats.
All right.
MaximumFun.org, where all the great podcasts live and breathe. And as I live and breathe, my name is Freddie Wong.
47 podcasts ago, I was Will Campos.
My name is Matt Arnold. Go get yourself some Lincoln Logs. Be a kid again.
Treat yourself, and maybe you'll find the spirit of America within.
Bye.
Hello there, ghouls and gals. It is I, April Wolf. I'm here to take you through the twisty, scary, heart-pounding world of genre cinema on the exhilarating program known as Switchblade Sisters. The concept is simple. I invite a female filmmaker on each week, and we discuss their favorite genre film. Listen in closely to hear past guests like The Babadook director, Jennifer Kent, Winter's Bone director, Deborah Granick, and so many others every Thursday on MaximumFun.org. Tune in if you dare.
It's actually a very thought-provoking show that deeply explores the craft and philosophy behind the filmmaking process while also examining film through the lens of the female gaze. So, you should listen.
Switchblade Sisters.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.